Speaking of carnies,
yeah,
Game of Thrones is great. It's really awesome. And friends of mine who have read the series, George R. R. Martin books, they're beloved, you know, have said how faithful it is to the book, which is great. They love it for that. But a lot of them were wondering, like, you know, what people who hadn't read the books would think of it. Because when you already know, I mean, it's very complicated and complex. There are lots of characters. There's you can't really say there's
I watched the thing about, like, the making of to get a sense of, like, oh, there's these people from this. There's these almost elfish-looking people. There's this giant wall in the north, and that's where all the fantasy monster stuff's going to happen when the show gets canceled because all the people...
Yeah, in the first episode, they show the fantasy monster stuff. They're just called White Walkers, and they're essentially just, they're humans, but they have, like, kind of glowing eyes.
Isn't there some dragon skull in someone's hall too?
There, I'm not sure that it's high fantasy, so it doesn't really touch on magic and junk. But it has this girl who's part of this family who's been, like, basically exiled. It's just her and her brother, who's totally crazy. And then he marries her off to this crazy warlord, like primal warlord guy.
Yeah, right. And they speak their own language. Yeah,
and she's been given as a gift these three dragon eggs, and they're long since, you know, they're just stone.
Petrified, yeah.
And so they make it sound like there's no dragons and junk.
It's been 2,000 years.
Peter Dinklage is awesome.
Yeah, I've heard his character.
And he's this
good
trickster character who's pretty much...
He's the bastard son.
He seems pretty evil, but I don't really know if he is.
I think he's not. I think he's just shunned because of his size. The bastard for Boromir. Boromir's
the
steward of Gondor's son gets shunned
in
too.
Throughout three episodes, he's not.
Well, no, but being sent up to the north, they get shunned.
He wasn't sent up to the north. He was just there. No, he leaves. Oh. He leaves when he wants. He's just there because he wanted to go.
Well, he wanted to get away from...
He wanted to transition, and he travels around. He travels around, and he goes to brothels, and there's tons of nudity, tons of banging, tons of bloody, violent decapitations, and guttings.
Yeah.
It's great.
Really, I'll definitely check it out.
Incest. Hot incest.
Sounds good.
There's kids.
Getting decapitated?
Maybe.
The kids get... Does any child get their... Children get their skulls caved in?
Kind of.
That's good enough for me in season
one. I'm only three episodes in, obviously. Yeah. It's got Sean Bean.
Of course.
I don't know who he is, but the new Conan is someone in it. I don't know who he is.
He's the guy that gets married, the chick gets married off to.
That guy?
Yeah. That's all that guy can do.
He's wearing a lot of makeup.
Yeah. That's what that guy is.
All right. I mean, because he's super, like, buff and everything. You get to see his butt. He's got a nice, really nice, like, naked butt.
Good for you.
That dude's super
big. So Game of Thrones, huh?
I think he's taller than Schwarzenegger, because Schwarzenegger's only like 6.
Well, I mean, they're growing bigger these days.
They're bigger these days, but just by the face and the facial hair, I didn't figure that was the guy. I was kind of looking at other candidates. Weird.
Yeah, no.
All right.
Sorry.
If you say so.
Hey, you want to get some stroganoff? And we're back. More podcasting. We were finishing up Game of Thrones. Discussion for three episodes. But to me, it looked like it could be a lot of, like, soap opera melodrama shit.
No.
Like, it really cuts that shit back.
It's all serious. It goes straight into, you know, every single thing.
They're like, winter is coming. And then winter comes, and then...
Well, winter is coming is the Stark family creed. Because the way this world works... Is
seasons are indefinite.
Seasons are indefinite. You don't know how long they're going to last, except for, like, sayers tell them that they think it's going to be a certain amount of time. But winters apparently are total darkness for long periods of time, with, like, 100 feet of snow. Like you know, thousands of people die. It's awful. And so they kept talking in the first
couple
episodes,
living in Minnesota,
about how the Starks' kids were all summer children, and how that was so great that they were summer children and everything like that. And I didn't get what that meant, because I was like, who cares if they were born this summer? But it turns out that just meant that they hadn't died in a terrible winter.
Yeah.
But the phrase is, you know, always be on the lookout, because, like, they're the guardians, and it's interesting, and it's just great. Like, I didn't expect much, and I was very, very pleasantly surprised, even from the opening. The opening credits, first of all, it doesn't have a great score.
It doesn't?
No. It's very, like... Have you ever played, like, a video game like King's Quest or something? Like,
so it's King's Quest.
Any minstrel music you can imagine hearing, like dun 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 dun.
It sounds very derivative.
It's just like not very good. Like it's like music that they wrote for an episode of Xena Warrior Princess or something like that.
Weak. That's dumb because I think that that was. I mean, I know Milius fought for that, but that is what made part of what makes Conan so great is the big score.
Sure, sure. It is very big. It's just not well written.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's got that going, yada yada. It's got a very distinctive theme, but and then so the way it shows you what the show is about is the land is, you know, these seven kingdoms. They're united under one king, but it's all these people who are the, I don't know, lord of their realm or whatever, that have certain castles.
They're masters of their universe.
And then, like, you know, the very northern one is this place called Winterfell, which is the guardian of the gate, massive wall of mountain, essentially, that guards from, you know, the land and the wilds or whatever. And there's people out there, and they live, you know, but now these White Walkers, which apparently haven't been seen in 1,000 years, and now most people think were just an old wives' tale or something to scare kids. Have been seen, and they're only seen, you know, I mean, it shows you what happens in the beginning, and you see some of them, and then the one of the guys escapes, but all the people who are on the wall, who they're the Night Watch or something is what they're called, they have taken a solemn oath to never desert, and all these, you know, things they have to say. Anyway, a guy escapes from it, and he's the only one who comes back alive, and so they sentence him to death. And the guy who has to kill him is Sean Bean. And he's like, you know, tell me what you want to say. And the guy, like, even up to the point of death, is like, I saw White Walkers and they killed and they're terrible. And I know I made an oath, but, like, I had to get out of there. And he's like, all right. And kills the guy. And then he made his youngest kid watch, or not as young as the middle one. And he's like, do you know why I had to do that? And he's like, because he made an oath. He's like, well, no, it's because I sentenced him to death, so that meant I should kill him. He's like, do you understand that?
Well, that's
like,
good. That's good.
Yeah. The Sean Bean character is rad. He's really good.
He's actually playing a good guy in this too, huh?
Unusual. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And a friend of mine told me this, and I was like, yeah, right. But it's true. There's really
no good characters,
no
bad
good
characters.
Guys and no bad guys. They just all have varying degrees of what they're willing to do to better their political situations. It's a very political thing. There's a lot of machination. Like, a big thing that happened in the third episode was this guy who's like the right hand of the king sitting down with his new group of advisors.
His council.
And they discuss how much money it's going to cost for him to put on these games.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start saying, okay, well, we'll borrow the money from the Lannisters, who's this super rich family. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He's like, we're going to borrow 3 million gold? He's like, oh, yeah, we're already in debt for, like, 6 million, you know? Like he's like, that's ridiculous. Like, and it becomes this, like...
commentary on the U.S. U.S. policy.
No, I don't think it's U.S. commentary. But it's essentially, like, this is a very real world with real economic problems and political machinations at all angles, and everyone's trying to play each other for something. And, like, you know, Sean Bean's wife, like, is very kind of, like, devious, but she's like one of the most pure, like,
well, she also has a reason to be kind of pissed at him too, because he's got the bastard's son that's one of the Night Watch,
exactly,
right?
But
and is that like probably they're going to be the main more interesting characters, the guy that can't enjoy anything of his father, and
he's an interesting character so far because he comes off as someone who is about to go bad at any moment, but he's had the few words of wisdom for this kid who was like first coming into his age in the first couple episodes, and was like very brotherly toward him, and then the mom kind of craps on him, and you know, he's not considered one of them. It's weird, like in this world, you know, he doesn't even have his father's last name.
Yeah,
he's known as, you
he's
know,
a bastard.
His name is something Snow, and instead of Stark, and like they find these dire wolves, these massive wolves that haven't been seen in a long time. They find a dead one. They find all these
and the cubs,
and he's the one who Stark is just going to kill them all. And then he's like, "Well, sir, like there's five of these, and you know you've got five kids." And he doesn't count himself.
Yeah.
And then they end up finding like a runt and giving it's a mute albino runt, And so they give him that.
Are they going to ride them across the Alkali Plain?
No, they're not that big.
In the third season, they will.
They're essentially just wolves.
Like but, Falcor.
But it's great. And I had read that there wasn't a lot of depth to the characters. They have to cover so much ground in every episode. But each episode so far has been over an hour. So they're like 61, 63 minutes, whatever. So it's not like the hour minus commercials type thing.
HBO is usually like...
HBO is pretty
good. Every episode is about as long as the episode needs to be. And it can vary from like a 45 to like a 61.
For sure, yeah. I was just very pleasantly surprised. And it's got this whole thing where like even the worst people in it like have their points. And you
like Sarah Connor Chronicles? Lady, the queen.
Yeah, she explains to her evil bastard. Well, he's not actually a bastard, but the evil dick of a kid in the third episode. Something, and he says something about like how do I know who's our enemies? And she's like, everyone who's not us is our enemy. But she's doing it in this super motherly way.
Yeah.
And it's obviously for preservation of her spoiled little kids and stuff. Like the weird storyline is the one with the two people who are exiled, the brother and sister, and he forces her to marry a Terminator, or Conan, and all that
stuff. Well, those are the children of the former king, right? They were exiled.
A former
king. Yeah.
And he wants his throne back, and he thinks... So, anyway, but...
So they're setting him up to be the ostensible bad guy in the background,
trying to harbor the
barbarians to destroy the civilization.
Really weird.
Yeah.
And she's like, one of the first things you see happen is he takes off her clothes and kind of like lustily stares at her body to inspect to see that it's okay for her future.
The merch, he's checking the merch.
Yeah, but they're not even, and I assumed that was the incestuous couple, and it's not even the incestuous couple. God. Like, anyway, it is like you sympathize with characters that you normally wouldn't with, and it's just really well put together, and I was very pleasantly surprised by it. But I mean, even if it didn't have copious amounts of gratuitous nudity and sex and tons of decapitations and blood, I still would have enjoyed it, and I think that's saying a lot.
No, that's saying a lot. Because
I seek that stuff out. And actually, I looked up a list. I was like, on Google, I was like, violent anime, right? So then all these things came up from all these different message boards. What's some really good, really violent anime? And almost all the answers were, if it's really violent, it's not really good.
Usually.
And like, these were all like, seasoned anime veterans, and they were like, here's some really violent ones. They're not very good. Like, everyone kind of agreed that maybe the best combination of okay, like, reaching good and reaching super violent was Jinro, the, what's it called? The Dog Patrol.
Dog Soldiers?
Dog Soldiers.
But that movie?
The movie.
What do you mean? That's hard. That's not very violent at all.
I only saw the last half an hour of it, and the last half an hour.
Like some there's like
was full of every time someone got shot, brains blew out of their.
Not Jinro so yeah, much. It's not like Angel Cop or anything. I mean, I don't know. I think the thing with anime is that some people, I don't know. I'm kind of tired of anime fans because they get so insular. It's tough to know how to judge somebody's review of something for anime. It's like
it's tough to judge anyone's review.
But some people for anime, it's just like, you know what? This is a stupid thing. It's not like it's okay because it's this goofy anime thing. And I don't know. I think I just get incensed that they don't do more cool stuff with what could ostensibly be a very cool medium. When I see the preliminary reviews that they do for shows that are just opening in Japan, people like to do Kata Sub or something. I read the descriptions of these shows, and then I read like that 1 out of 5 type star ratings on things, and I'm like, the two that got the by and large the majority of the review of these people gave it a 3 or above might have a good concept, but it also sounds really stupid too. But then who knows, It's just I don't know. I'm almost like frustrated with the whole thing. Right. Because you're right. The thing is, like, most violent ones are not good, but at the same time, there are some that are perfectly fine and fun to watch that are horribly violent. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, usually they're not good. I watched this one called Geno Cyber, which was completely out there, just like bizarre. really
bleak. Was there lots of cybering?
Dismal. What, a lot of what?
Cybering.
I don't even know what that is.
That's just a stupid word for cyber sex. That's no. For like 80 years
ago. Yeah, no, there's very little sex stuff, but it's pretty violent in places, you know, where it's like people's bodies get exploded and it's, you know, you see like the skulls.
Well, that's one
stuff.
Thing that was leading me to look up certain things on Netflix was what their ratings were. And, you know, some of the things on there were TVMA.
Yeah.
I looked to see why, and it's like, it's very violent. But
yeah, episodes of Full Metal Alchemist would be TVMA. I think the first episode of the first season...
Everything on there has been TV-14 that I've seen.
I think the first episode of the first season on Adult Swim was TVMA. Mm. Because it shows a kid with a bleeding stump after his leg gets taken.
Was he smoking? Was that why it was...
No, I think it was because there was a bleeding stump and a child screaming.
But the one thing I've realized is TVMA doesn't necessarily mean anything because... These were all shows that were shown on primetime on Japanese television.
No, they weren't.
Well, the majority of them that I
some of them were. Some the anime is weird, but yeah, were, a lot of them. You know, sometimes like, shows are shown late, and then they get shown afternoon. A show goes from a midnight show to an afternoon show, and who knows what the hell they're thinking with their programming schedules? And all bets are freaking off. I mean, Cowboy Bebop is too violent to be shown. To have a whole section of it shown.
There was
on
only,
Japan.
There were only one or two things that happened in that entire series, though, that were...
Yeah, I know, but that's what like, I'm saying. That's weird, right? They didn't show the first episode. And it's like... I don't know. The most violent thing...
The first episode had, like, the most violent stuff in it. A guy gets shot in the head, and I think through, like, the eye or something like that.
Well, he shoots the stuff in his eyes. He breaks one of those vials.
Not just that, but somebody in that bar, like, in the first...
Yeah, but you don't see it from... You don't see it from outside.
You do see it pretty good. I remember being shocked at that. I was like, oh, yeah, sweet. And it really wasn't that violent the rest of the series. There was, like, one or two other things that...
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that show was just good. It didn't need the trappings of whatever. You know, like, would RoboCop be beloved by you and I if it wasn't, like, also ridiculously violent? Probably not as much.
No, though that is definitely
Paul Verhoeven has taken somewhat interesting ideas and made very violent things out of them.
Yeah, but the violence is the idea.
The violence means something, for sure.
It's totally the idea in RoboCop.
It is. But I mean,
less so in something like Total Recall.
There is some pretty violent stuff in Total Recall.
And it's more gratuitous because the idea of Total Recall isn't about the violence
as
much.
Exactly.
But in RoboCop, it absolutely is.
Sure.
I mean, the fact that you see Murphy's hand get shot. Starship Troopers, exactly.
Well.
The guy takes his helmet off like an idiot for a second, and he gets killed,
yeah.
And that's gruesome.
But in anime, it's like it seems so.
A lot of it, I think, is like almost like a bragging of the quality of the style. I think part of it is they were really differentiating themselves from kids stuff, especially back in the day, like the '90s stuff,
right.
The OAVs, and then part of it is almost just like we can do this because the visual effects weren't there to do it live action. You know, we can have someone's like skin get melted off and then muscles, then bones and everything. It's like an anatomy study,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's a gruesome
I was thinking, like, in all these years and all these anime series that come out, and there are, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, like, what major breakthroughs have there been in super violent anime? And I'm looking, and everyone's like, you know, honestly, the most violent stuff is, like, Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
Like, Ninja Scroll is tons of rape and violence. I've seen Ninja Scroll.
Yeah.
You know, like, and everything they mentioned was, like, you know, from like the 1980s or the 1990s,
like the 90s in the bubble.
Majority of it was like, you know, that was the violent bubble. Yeah.
Well, that was the OAV bubble. That was when they had the budget. I mean, violence to do violence effectively, it requires a budget because it's higher quality animation. You got to have fluid splatters, and you've got to,
like,
have a lot of stuff moving.
How the first episode of Mad Bull, even though it was drawn worse, had extremely gruesome, violent, like, head explosions.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff. And then the other episodes were drawn better, but, like, when they shot people, it was off camera, which was weird to me.
You have to, I mean, you can study...
Not that Mad Bull was any sort of...
No, you can study certain kinds of creators and see the kinds of things that they go back to. But like I was talking about before, with every season of anime, it's like you just read... And I guess the big one that'll be the thing to check out in a few years is, like, Tiger and Bunny. They always have to have terrible titles. But the premise of this, it looks like it's pretty well animated, is that it's a show where there are superheroes in the world, but they're sponsored by, like, companies, and, like, it's a reality show that follows them do things. Mm. And just off that premise, I'm like, that could be interesting. The title is stupid, And it could go in one of two ways. It could get, like, all anti-consumerism and just get, like, up its own ass with politics and not be fun to watch. Or it could go another way. And then so you never know. You just hope that, you know, you read some good reviews from people that cover bases on it. Right. For me, the whole thing has been with just about every show or movie is just, like, is it going to be boring or is it going to be interesting? And so with anime, it's the tough thing is, one, up until recently with, like, Netflix streaming, it was difficult and or expensive to check the stuff out. And it's generally so long form, it's not like a movie, but, it's generally not as bad as a U.S. show.
I'll argue with that. I agree with the last thing you said, but it's so much easier for me to decide that I'm going to give any sort of anime a chance than watching something, an American show that's even very acclaimed, because you got to put in this many episodes per season for 6 seasons or whatever of an hour or a little less.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or even in the half hour cases, in that case, it's almost always comedy, and that stuff's mm-hmm. pretty disposable.
Yeah.
Both the anime, it's like you can really hammer that stuff out pretty quick, and the seasons are like usually if there are seasons, yeah. It's usually like 13 episodes.
But like the thing is, the something like The Office, I'll watch as a disposable, or Community, I'll watch as disposable. Like maybe I'll get a couple laughs out of it, or maybe I'll enjoy it. With anime, I'm watching it for kind of a dual purpose in most cases, because usually they have an arc to their stories. Because it's more, it's not a mini series, but it's longer than a mini series, yeah. But it's got an ending usually.
Yeah.
And 26 episodes of something is tough, because it's basically like every time I decide to watch an anime, I'm deciding to watch a really long movie. And I'm like, so the structure of the stories are such that when do you give up on this movie? You know, which you and I are big on not doing that because it's 2 hours.
Yeah,
but when it's a 52-episode show, that's a lot of time to put in. And if by the sixth episode, yeah. You're not quite into it, but then all of a sudden by the 10th episode, it's become awesome, then you're like, ah, shit. And it makes me scared. And I've sat through a couple, even 50-episode shows where I was like, that was a waste of time, and that pisses me off. And it's like, how do you know?
But you
how do you find the gems?
But it takes you 5 years to finish a 50-episode show because you watch
most of those shows I'm still hemming or hawing about, I haven't put in my Saturday realm where I'm like, I know I like this and I'll watch this slowly because I'll probably enjoy all of it. Most of those shows are just like, they're killing like 3 or 4 weeks of time when I could be watching movies or, you know, watching other things. You know, I'm watching it on weekdays in like 4-episode-a-night runs, waiting, you know, for it to get to somewhere. So it's tough for me. I mean, that's why anime is frustrating to me, because it's the differences in the way that the nature of the way they'll tell stories sometimes give you new surprises that are cool, but other times it means it's a tough bet. Which is why I love show. I mean, I love shows that I either already seen or that I've gotten far enough into, and I'm confident enough in terms of the way that they're doing the story that I can tell. And then I love being able to tell someone, like, check this show out. I've seen it all the way through. I like it. If you don't like it 5 minutes in, then you know you're not going to like it. Or there's a couple cases where it's like, give it like 6 episodes, and that's when it really turns over. You know, and I don't know. It's nice to have people like that can, or things like that, or someone can really review things in a fair sense. It's tough, but yeah, in terms of the violence, that was a '90s OAV boom. The sex, the violence, and stuff. It really is not so much what they're going for these days. They've got their demographics figured out. Their U.S. bubble was probably from like 2002 to like 2005, when there was a few companies, they were doing pretty good money wise, and anime had kind of gained a big popularity. People buy in the box set DVDs and everything. Now it's definitely shrunk. I mean, we were talking about GoGo 13, and it's like I can't see it having an arc, but I could see it having a series of episodes that are about one hit, kind of like the movies for GoGo 13. Mm-hmm. So it would just be like a longer story there. But I don't think there's anything character for that guy. I mean, that's the whole joke, is that right. It's just a manga that just keeps going, and each episode is about, like, a hard-ass hitman.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with that stuff, there's certain things that interest me about it, and then as I'm watching, I'm like, you know, I don't feel like it's a waste of time, because in that case, it's not much time. If something is a half an hour or less, I feel like I'm not wasting my time.
Well, to watch one episode, yeah.
Well, but then, and if that intrigues you enough to watch more, even then, you haven't wasted that much time. You know, like, well, what am I going to lose by not watching some movie I have queued up, you know, and instead watching three or four episodes of...
Yeah, I guess I just...
an anime, and then I feel like you got to get into it at least a little more. I mean, I've told you in a few cases where I didn't want to anymore. I keep seeing Samurai 7 on there.
Yeah.
And I think my main problem with that was... I have seen Magnificent Seven. I've seen Seven Samurai.
And you're like, I know where it's going,
and I know what happens in both of them, and they're going to essentially do the same thing, except for with robots and samurai in the future or whatever. And so I think that's why I stopped that one. Gungrave just bored me.
That's an interesting one to me, because the kinds of discussions we have about like Justified and about like character and stuff. That stuff is in Gungrave. That stuff, about it's a very good, it seems, the first episode, and then a few episodes towards the end, because it's based on a PlayStation game. Like, I was so scared when it started getting towards the end. I was, like, telling Seth, because Seth had watched it already before me. I'm like, dude, is it just going to turn into ridiculous PlayStation boss fights for the end? And like, because that's just, like, such squandering such a good thing that it had going, and he's like, no, it gets... And so, I don't know how many episodes did you get into it?
I watched three, I think.
So you got to see that they went backwards in time, yeah. That they showed the characters, and so I think you have to... By three, had two of their friends been killed, and they had gone off to join the main Millennium organization?
I don't recall.
Because that's when things really do turn around.
It was a couple years ago that I started watching this, and I don't really remember.
I would. That'd be one of the only ones I would say that you might want to give a second chance to. I feel like the animation quality is good. Like it's drawn well, and it's got like good shading and all that stuff. It doesn't look cheap, but it's not like particularly densely animated.
Yeah. I've been considering watching things like I've read that a lot of people think that. Helsing was good, and that like Witch Hunter Robin was good. Like Ryan's always telling me,
that's a weird one because
I've been considering watching those. I have seen an episode or two of Helsing, and it was kind of like
there's two Helsings. There's the Helsing Ultimate OAVs, which are a little more I'm not a huge Helsing fan. A lot of people are. I mean, it depends on who you're talking to and what their take is. So that's the problem.
What's the other one you said?
Anime fans.
There's two.
There's Helsing Ultimate, which is an OAV series that isn't done yet because it's an OAV and they make one every year or whatever. And that's more closely based on the manga. I think I enjoyed that more because it did more with the character of Alucard because it's about this big vampire supreme. But in this world, the vampire can do all kinds of crazy shit. So in the original Helsing 13-episode anime, it doesn't have... It's one of those ones that has the frustrating ending because the manga keeps going, and they finally introduce, like, a villain for him that he's actually scared of, like, three episodes before it ends. But up until then, it's just kind of like... Eh. I mean, you might get a kick out of it for the kind of dark, horror, gothic stuff that's going on throughout the show. But... I don't know. I don't know if I would ever revisit. I think I've seen it twice, and it's okay. Witch Hunter Robin is a weird one. I don't know why Ryan... I'd love to talk with him about what he likes so much about that show. Because it's a show that has kind of a frustrating anime ending. It's ostensibly like a paranormal police procedural show. Mm-hmm. With a through line about like somebody trying to come up with the ultimate solution to how they catch these people that have these paranormal factors, you know, that they call witches. They've got witches catching witches, of course, at the beginning, and then they have this clandestine team that sort of becomes a force against them that's maybe higher up above them that can take them out without using, you know, it's like, well, if we don't need you at all, then we'll just get rid of you. So there's interesting stuff in that show, and the music is kind of good. And
I heard that one was violent. Ryan...
Witch Hunter Robin is not violent.
Ryan was always telling me that that one was really good because it was really violent.
No. I mean, I don't know. My metric for violence is... Does it make you mildly queasy? Is it something you wouldn't want to
nothing
see?
Nothing makes me mildly queasy.
I know. Nothing really does it to me anymore. But, like, does it... I mean, it's visceral, literally. And that's my metric for violence, is that, like, heads get broken open and you see stuff spew out. I mean, do you mean... When you say violence, do you just mean, like, there's a general gruffness and or, like, brutal
no,
quality
blood
to...
blood and guts and
yeah,
exploding
blood and
bodies.
Guts and body parts, yeah. Yeah, Richard and Robin has... A couple of people get lit on fire and stuff. I mean, that stuff's like, ah, wow, somebody got lit on fire. And that's, you know, there's a horror component to that. That's brutal and terrible. But I wouldn't say, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's terribly violent. I don't know if I would recommend that as one for you to check out. But I can never tell. I can't really recommend anything to anybody because everyone changes their opinions about, like, I would think you'd really like Gungrave. But you didn't.
I also didn't like Trigun.
Trigun is a freaking tough sell because Trigun to me is the epitome of the show that
every episode I saw was so goofy.
Yeah, and that's
the
thing.
And I was told by people, it's not really that goofy. And I'm like, well, every episode I've seen is super goofy.
Yeah, I would say about 40% of it is goofy and about 35 of that 40% is in the first half.
Every time I watch a show where it has a bunch of that stuff in it, I'm like,
no thanks.
I could just be watching Shin-Chan
instead, and that would be
and
funny.
I like Shin-Chan.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Shin-Chan.
I want to see what the next adventure of what's the superhero principal's name in that show?
Oh gosh,
it's something.
Yeah.
It's something vulgar, right?
Yeah,
there, right?
Something vulgar.
Yeah, no, Shin-Chan is great. I agree with you there. A lot of the, like, manga idiot stick, giant sweat bubbles, cat ear bullshit,
yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. And I especially hate when it's in shows that are good and then just kind of replete in that show. And you're like Fullmetal Alchemist has a decent bit of that, but then it ends up being so dire in places and stuff, too. And you're like, how do you reconcile that? The only way I've ever been able to reconcile that stuff is... On some small degree, I kind of learned to kind of, like, laugh about it and find it kind of tolerable. But on the rest, I literally just don't even notice. I just phase it out. Like, I just, like, on to the next frame, and then they're not drawn, like, they're clear.
The kid who's got the entire robot body. I've seen a few episodes where somebody says something and his eyes go all swirly.
Yeah,
his
mouth
goes, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's, like, sweat coming off of his metal face.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah, yeah, that's dumb. That's dumb. That's really stupid. And it really undermines the drama that they then... That's the thing. Anime is very schizophrenic. If nothing else, in terms of its tonality, and you get that in Gurren Lagann, you get that... You have to have this weird kind of, like... I mean, and that's like the like, nerd thing, I guess. You know, it's like nerds that don't know how to behave in certain situations. I mean, you can do a whole sociological thing about the kind of... Why does this appeal to somebody? It's like, well, that guy... There's an episode, you know, there's a pretty good kind of like satirical show called Martian Successor Nadesco, which is another Gainax show that's got all kinds of stupid comedy stuff in it. And then, like, at one point, this guy gets shot and killed. And it's like it really affects a few of the characters and, like, really bothers them. But in that, you know, the following episode, there's characters being bothered by it. And then there's dumb, stupid shit happening at the same time. And you're like... The only thing I can think of in terms of, like, character just behaving stupidly while situations are so crazy is that the situations are so terrible and dire in a lot of these shows to begin with that that's just sort of, like, that weird insanity almost makes sense if you're in a world that crazy that you would, like, have that kind of, you know, like, deflection and that kind of... way where you would be like goofy about stuff.
I usually take that as a sort of weakness in the planning, but of course it's
yeah.
These things are culturally different.
Yeah,
obviously.
There's that too.
Since
yeah,
it's so
it's like this is funny, right? It's like no,
it's so
funny.
Pervasive in most anime that I've seen, except for the really 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 cream of the crop.
Well,
like, I mean Bakano has the two
Isaac and Miriam
retarded thieves, you know, who like. Even in the dire situations, are just, like, totally...
Yeah, they're comedic relief for sure.
Super dumb.
Yeah.
Like...
What do you think we should do? I don't know.
Yeah, my gosh. But, I mean, I kind of liked them.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is, it's like, if you can kind of like them, then that's the difference. And I think the reason that that's there is that they find ways.
How far through that are you now?
I got 5 more left. I just watched one that was like 90% on the roof of the train, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
You like those ones. The stuff in the very middle is the best, for sure.
Yeah, that's usually how anime is, too, yeah. Is that usually a lot of it doesn't end that well. I mean, part of it is that when the stuff just takes itself so seriously, because they can do that, too, in some anime. Like, Mamoru Oshii can do stuff where it's just people sitting across from each other, like, having a conversation. Yeah, and it can be so kind of overly philosophical. But I really like that, too.
One reason why I think why anime isn't taken seriously by mainstream critics, as opposed to anime critics, is in many of the cases, you know, I mean, for whatever reason, we've adopted show don't tell as some sort of standard. They never did when it comes to anime. Except, as I said, like in the very best cases, like the very cream of the crop stuff, you know, like I can keep pointing out Bebop is something that doesn't fall into these traps. But in so many things I've seen, there's these long expository things where the heroine or the hero sits there talking to someone and spilling their guts about why they feel a certain way and why they've acted a certain way, explaining and explaining and explaining. And whatever, I mean, you know it, and they say that's great that they told you and everything like that. But it takes the element of the one thing that really kind of gives American-made, and I guess most European stuff is even more so than American, because though they say show don't tell, they sure go back on it a lot in American stuff, especially comedies.
And European stuff is so up its own ass with pretense that sometimes it doesn't even tell.
It's the point of being obtuse.
Yeah.
But in both of those cases, you know, it's staggered a little bit, you know, America to Europe. You have, it adds in everything an element of mystery, which is what is this really about? What is that person really about? It makes you think more about it. With the anime that doesn't give you that option, you're going through a thing of entertainment where when you end it, it's over and you don't ever think about it again, or you don't have to think about it again. You may remember one or two things that happened, or like some set pieces or some certain cool action that happened, or this or this.
And that's
but when it runs down to it, like, I mean, one thing that Bebop and Shampoo had in common was they meted out very tiny amounts of information about the characters.
Yeah.
And when they finally came to anything, and it was never a tell thing. It was always a show thing.
Yeah.
It was like, it was this very cool thing where you suddenly got to know what the person was about when you've been seeing hints at what it may be about for 15 episodes or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know why, like, out of the blue, I think it was this morning as I was waking up, I was just thinking about the beach episodes of Champloo, where it's all about Mugen's backstory. Mm-hmm. And you get some explanation, but you get it in flashback too, which is showing.
Right.
And then you get the whole, like, absolute showing where it's just like, I mean, to me, the epitome of showing and not telling is a lack of dialogue, a decision to not have a character say something.
Sure.
So when Mugen doesn't say anything to the girl at the end and she's just yelling, like, kill me, and he just limps away from her, that does so much for the character and for like, it's just for her character, for his character, it's great. And I mean, you do get a decent bit of that, but you're right. Yeah, a lot of the longer series based on manga, those kind of things, it's like, how many episodes of Full Metal Alchemist does he have to say, like, we just want to get our bodies back, we don't care about being dogs in the military?
I'm not even talking about that. Like, that's one thing. What I'm thinking of specifically, well, I can't even think of a specific thing, but I know I've seen this multiple times.
Yeah.
Comes to a part where there's a girl sitting there, and for some reason I always think of it as a girl, though a lot of times it's a boy.
Yeah.
And the person says, well, I guess I'm just too scared, but I need to learn that being scared is not a way to go through life, because being scared is what did this.
Yeah.
And they don't have the pauses. And it keeps going, and they're like, you know, but I learned something, you know, through all this. By watching my friend there do this thing, now I know that what I really need to do is band together with my friends. Because friends mean everything to you, and that's what this is all about. This is about friendship, and it just keeps going. And you're like, oh, thanks for telling me. I could have just
watched it,
heard that. I could have just heard that, and then not had to waste my time watching the whole thing. Or you could have just cut that out, and I could have figured it out on my own. I would have felt like I earned something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no,
I think I feel like I get a lot of that from stuff that's not as good as the top notch.
I kind of just, like, tune out a lot of that, to be honest, like, along with a lot of stuff.
I'll tell you what, I had a ton of that, and I still like the series so far, what I've seen, was Black Lagoon.
Yeah, Black Lagoon is definitely a lot of talking.
Expository, philosophical Japanese nonsense in it.
Yeah, Japanese? I haven't finished the show yet, but I don't know. Like, to me, that first episode where he kicks the torpedo and just is like, "Why does this always have to happen to me?" Like, I love that.
But he does a lot of that.
And then when he talks to her,
she starts doing it by the end of it. In the end of the, I guess the second season.
I haven't seen that yet, but yeah, I mean, who knows?
In the end of the second season, she's got this long ass conversation with this guy.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have to check it out. Yeah. Like, no, you're right. There's definitely this, like, absolute
about, and it's always like, here's what life is about.
Yeah, exactly. And that's big in the end of the first season too.
I hate that stuff. I don't want a lot of
conversation about
her trying to figure out how they can rob a train
and politics,
telling
me
what
stuff.
Life is about.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
You can get their idea of what life is about by seeing their actions.
That's true. I think you're right. In some shows, they do get. It starts getting up its own ass with its theme and with its idea of the politics and, you know, the nature of the way people behave. So far in what I've seen of Black Lagoon, where they've done that, where they've had the conversations about things, I thought that it's been set with such good tension and such, like, complemented by such good action. Mm. Like, I mean, with the first encounter where you have Rock kicking the torpedo and screaming and yelling about his miserable life, that was great because he kicks a torpedo like he's done with everything. When you have him talking to Rebecca and she's about to shoot him and, like, he puts his hand to the gun and everything, like, that one made a lot of sense. I think one of my favorites of all time was when you had Dutch on the phone with the Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about stuff while they go on that boat and just straight up murder all of those Nazis. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite episodes. I love it. And he's like, it's really too bad. He's like, yeah, I guess so. I don't know though. I don't know. And then the conversation that the one terrorist has with Rock in the end of the first season, I thought was really good because. It show the way Rock handles himself with this guy says a lot about the character. There is telling in that, but I don't know. I think there's also a way where the dialogue can be used to show things without telling, even though ostensibly the dialogue is just telling things. Because it has a lot to do with what somebody chooses to say to somebody and how they choose to say it. I mean, that's part of a performance, and that's part of a character's action on some level, though. I mean, it's not picking up a glass or shooting a gun; it's you blurting something out violently or quietly telling something to somebody. I don't know. I've always had a tough time with that distinction because I think there's ways. I mean, you can do just the same thing with symbolism too, where you could beat someone over the fucking head with showing an object that's a symbolic value. To death, and it's like, yeah, we get it. You don't have to cut.
Or you can show a rat on a banister.
On a banister,
departed.
Yeah, and it's like that's not showing. You know, that's we get it. Yeah, we get the rat on the banister. It symbolizes obviousness. I couldn't believe when I saw that in that movie. I was stunned.
It was such a cartoonish ending.
That was like a high school student film level. Ending for something where it's like, that's awesome, right? Because the rat symbolizes, like,
rat symbolizes everything you just saw.
I try to wrap my head around, like, is there some more dense, like, hyper ironic analysis of this symbolism here that's more to it than no, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, a grain of salt is the best answer I can come up with because I like a lot of anime that's got a lot of stupid shit in it. But if there's something for me to hold on to that interests me in terms of the plot or in terms of the way the characters are behaving or the kind of situations they end up in, then I like it. I mean, I like something like A Gurren Lagann, which is very cartoony and does state, like, oh, it's about overcoming and standing up.
Yeah,
and,
but that's not as offensive to me because it is cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind if they do that because you forgive that in American movies with comedies. Because yeah. The thing I've been told over and over is you got to know what this character is all about very early. And in dramas, that's never, ever, ever the case. You can maybe know what their ostensible goal is, but drama in many cases is mystery, even if it's not about someone killing someone. It's something that slowly reveals. Adam Egoyan's best films are, slowly reveal mysteries about the characters and things that happened, and he cuts back and forth those things, and that's why they're so brilliant and great. You ever seen Exotica?
Parts of it. A guy goes to a strip, a kind of odd strip.
It's a guy who goes to a strip club.
But you find out that he's had a daughter that was kidnapped. Yeah,
he gets the same girl every time and has her.
Bruce Greenwood. Isn't Casey Jones in that too?
Casey Jones is in it.
Is the DJ?
Yeah, and there's these different storylines, these different people, and then this guy has a bird he got, a bird that's illegal to have in America because it couldn't pass through customs. Yeah. And then there's like a customs agent who's kind of like, but it's these weird unrelated things, and then the characters all kind of like meet up at the very, very end, and it's just this like stunning conclusion to the thing, and it's done without violence and done without sex and done without the stuff that's like the trappings of story.
Yeah.
And I think good drama has to have that element of mystery. And good comedy, there's really no place in there for an element of mystery unless it's part of the storyline that's like, who did it? Yeah. Oh, it was Mr. Roper.
And that's the problem with anime, is it doesn't care so much about the distinction.
It doesn't, but in a case like Gurren Lagann, I've seen six episodes, and to me it's like, I understand this is about robots and junk, but it's a comedy.
It's a comedy?
It's a comedy.
But there's, I don't know,
let's call it a comedy. And so when they shout stupid things about their determination and how they need to do certain things, it's like, it's kind of endearing because they're stupid.
Yeah, yeah, but you also have to care about the characters, right?
The kid is battling a lot with cowardice, and the guy
battling
is a stupid braggart. The thing I laugh at every time is when he says that they're going to take his drill and drill through the sky.
Sky.
I know there's going to be space stuff because they showed space stuff in the beginning, but it's just such a stupid statement, and that anyone who lived underground his entire life would get so excited about getting to the surface and be like, all right, now let's go through the sky.
Yeah, right.
Like,
we're going to keep going.
He's just like a big, dumb guy who takes charge of things.
Yeah, but you start to see that, like, that has got something to it. And then I don't know about you, but the thing that you'd expect, or at least that I expect, and I haven't finished the show either, but I've gotten more than six episodes in, but by the end of the second episode, they've already dashed one whole anime trope, right?
Which is
his father.
Yeah, you see that he's dead, and
that's a big deal. Like, you see, usually you'd think, oh, he's going to meet his father at some point and find out what's happening with that. But you see that as he's fighting, first you get the abandoned child thing from him, which adds more depth.
Well, it just makes you able to understand why his character is the way it is.
And then you get to see, wait a minute. Like, the person I've modeled all my behavior off my whole life, this idealized version of somebody that went up, that was brave, he bought it. Mm-hmm. He's done. And that changes things.
He hasn't acted with
any
more careful since then.
Yeah, no, really, he hasn't. Because he's overcompensating now, because now he's probably more afraid. I mean, I don't know. There's definitely got to be a certain adolescent mentality behind enjoying a lot of this stuff.
I think I think Gurren Lagann has good design. The design of the robots is pretty ingenious because it's so odd and it's basically faces.
Yeah.
And then they get all these weird lines out of that they end up calling the episode titles.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're so great because you have...
Having lots of faces doesn't make you great.
There are always lines.
There are always things he yells always out. There are
lines that Kamine yelled at somebody because he's so furious at them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I mean, let me put it this way to you.
But
it's a show that can be very moving, but I've always got a smile on my face.
There was finally an actual, like, threatening bad guy, but, like, for a while it was like, you know, when they try to eat the pink guys, and the pink guys, like, you're all like,
what? That's the stupidest. That's really stupid.
You trying to get us? Guess what?
Yeah,
we've got all these robots.
That is the most cartoony episode I've seen so far. They do a few more things like that. But even when I watch that one, I'm kind of like, what? And then they kind of back away from that. But not that they need to. I mean, like I said, it's the kind of show, it's tough to reconcile the two kinds of drama. I mean, even stuff like Bebop does that. I mean, how freaking hilarious is it in, I don't know, like the second episode with the dog, where the guy's like, you know, it's a dog sign, only dogs can hear it. He's like, I knew that, yeah, you know? And then, I mean, but they do it more episodic, I guess, where it's like there's a comedy episode.
But there's a difference where the worlds themselves are more and less serious.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gurren Lagann is...
It's not serious
at all. It's not serious in the least. And in Cowboy Bebop, it's a real world where like...
If you get bumped over by a car, you're going to be scuffed up.
Death is a serious thing. Yeah. And so it makes the character of, like, Ed and the characters of the old men and stuff like that different than they would be in a comedy show, everyone would be acting that way, right?
Yeah, on some level, you're
Ed,
right.
Ed is weird, but if you look, I mean, they've carefully animated Ed so that like the limbs are wavering as she walks, or she walks on her hands, or like or does weird things. Like she's part of this of actual human physics. She's part of that, you know, and like I don't know. I mean, I thought one of the weirdest episodes of that, though, it had a lot to do with Faye, was when they go to Earth and.
Yeah, that's good stuff towards the end. I don't know. I think the big thing to get over with a lot of anime, though, is you just have to, like, buy the bullshit. There's going to be one big conceit at the beginning of just about any good... If it's a good show, there won't be too many more. Like, for something like Fullmetal Alchemist, you have to buy the fact that there's something like alchemy, and these people can basically do magical shit. And once you're like, okay, they can do that, fine, and this is some alternate reality or whatever... Then you can enjoy the show, and you can have stake in the characters, and there's a sense of mortality, and like you care if something happens to somebody. And for Gurren Lagann, yeah, you're right. It's drawn very cartoony. The characters are very big. Things are very insane. But, I mean, there's also some brutal kind of dark stuff going on, too. I mean, even from the beginning. And so it's like you have to decide, okay, this is this world. It's going to be very fun and colorful and energized and with the jazz music when they're running around. And... The question is it going to squander any kind of chance at having legitimate, like moving things for the characters and arcs and everything else to just do that, to just serve that, or is it going to do both a little bit here and there? And so far, so good from my opinion, because I am not a huge fan. I mean, we've both talked about this. I don't think either one of us really quite get the Japanese humor. Full force, you know, like that's why
Shin-Chan has to be translated by American writers who are actually writing new jokes because it doesn't make sense.
When
you know, they probably don't think things we think are funny or funny.
Well, I think there's some crossover, but for sure there definitely has got to be, because there's visual gags that in things I've seen that I thought were funny. Sure, yeah. You know, like I mean, there's things they've done like the joke about. In episode 22 of Bebop, when he hears the whistling, and he thinks it's the cowboy guy coming, but it's just somebody whistling. He's like, "Shut up!" Like that's pretty universally funny, and that was something they had to like the Japanese guys had to do in the animation and everything.
That was just a great episode.
Yeah, that was good.
Him going off the deep end, like so frustrated with this guy that he could not beat
because it was him. Yeah, ensemble. I changed the code yesterday. He's like, what do you mean? I just changed the code this afternoon. God damn it! Yeah, no, I like that. So you just kind of have to embrace a certain part of your own sort of childish joy about goofiness and simplistic morality in a lot of cases for certain things. And then, yeah, it's...
I don't mind simplistic morality. I mind when they tell it to me.
Yeah, no, I get you there, too. And so like I said, I never recommended Gurren Lagann to you, but I like it, and if you like it, then that's cool.
You mentioned it more than any show I haven't seen in the last.
Well, I think Seth has brought it up every now and again.
No, 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 no. Don't push this off.
Don't push this off on Seth. I would say that you should check out Gungrave again, though. I would say maybe give it a couple.
I'm going to do some nights. I'm going to call you when I'm on Netflix. I'm going to say, what about this?
What about this? Yeah, I should just do that sometime.
What about this?
When I'm there, I can cue you up on a bunch of good stuff.
I want you to cue me up. I want to just hear.
What about this?
I just want to hear you go.
Yeah.
I don't hear your reaction, because sometimes you're like, eh.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, oh, that's great, and then it won't be. Uh-huh. And sometimes you're like, eh, and it is good.
Well, when have I said that about something? What is something I was eh and you
something
liked?
You said was eh that I liked. Let's see.
I don't think there is.
Let's see.
I think I like more stuff than you do. I think you're more discriminating, just plain in general.
Except when it comes to, like, actual movies.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then it's the opposite.
Not really, no.
It's not discriminating. You're just a hater and you don't like... No, what other people like. You're a contrarian.
Yeah, right. To the point where, like, I'm unapologetically...
You're like, hey, what do you think about it, Zach? Oh, well, I'll tell you why you're wrong. That's my impression.
Right. Like, when I completely talked about how terrible The Dark Knight was, or Inception, or other things that everybody likes.
On a rare occasion, we've agreed.
Yes, that's true. No, I think I couldn't recommend too many things.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, really, you just have to...
Well, what is Angel Cop?
Angel Cop? Yeah. Angel Cop is a 6-episode OAV where there's, like, this group of cops. It's some kind of alternate, like, like Cold War still happening in the background kind of thing. And there's these people that have got, like, psychic powers. Scams. And then the cops kind of... This elite cop unit has to go up against them at one point, and
what's so violent about it?
There's just a couple violent moments, like people get, like, heads exploded and, like, eyeballs shooting out of their heads and stuff, kind of stuff. You know, it's 90s OAV anime. It hits that exactly on, you know, with the not a huge amount of sex, a decent bit of violence, and a decent bit of, like, you know, coarse language, if you will. Cyber City 080 is another good one for that.
Do they do a lot of cybering in that?
No,
I'm
going to
ask that every time you say the title.
There is a...
what is Cyber City 08088?
Oh, 08088. It's the guy, it's by Yoshiaki Kawajiri.
Oh, yeah, right.
The guy that did Ninja Scroll.
Oh, okay.
It's got...
Is there lots of rape in it, then?
No, it doesn't have lots of rape. It does have a transvestite-type character. It does have a guy fight a robot and, like, do the thing where he gets, like, so beat up that you, like, any person would be dead. Super person would be dead. It's like, didn't that guy just, like, push an I-beam through your chest? So doesn't that mean you're dead now?
Okay.
But instead I cough up, you know, all of mine and my brother's blood. Yeah. It's only 3 episodes, too.
Are you talking about Cyborg 009?
No. 009 is, like, an old classic show. That's more fun than anything.
And we've got that at Kmart for some reason. There's a bin with a bunch of cheapo movies.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've
got... And there's two different things of Cyborg 009. There's, like, one that's, like, a collection of episodes, and there's another one that says for mature audiences on it.
Oh, is it 009/1 with a chick on the front?
No, it's 009, it was like a spin-off movie or something.
Maybe there's, like, just enough violence in it that they don't want to accidentally have a 2-year-old watch it or something.
But the rest looked like it was for 2-year-olds.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know.
What is Cybering about? What is it?
Oh, Cyber City. It's just 3 episodes. Each one is a different criminal that's got a collar. They are hired out to, like, solve crimes to get reduced. There's a ridiculously high prison sentence, minorly reduced each time they do something crazy. While the, like, guy that sits there in, like, with the steepled fingers in, like, the giant megacorp building office has, like, his finger on the button to blow their collars up at any moment. So they're like, hey, fuck you, buddy. We can watch them sometime.
I'll watch Cybering.
Yeah, they're quick, too. Like, each episode's like half an hour. Very disposable.
I watched this thing called Dead Leaves.
Yeah, I watched part of it and I couldn't get into it.
It was so manic. It was the most manic thing I'd ever seen. It was interesting, kind of, but it was so fast. And it's 55 minutes. It's a standalone thing.
Yeah.
These people wake up.
And they're in a prison cell.
No, they wake up on Earth.
Oh, okay.
and they don't know who they are. They don't know how they got there, and they immediately start committing crimes. The guy has a TV for a head.
That's right. That's right.
And the girl has like a glowing red eye.
Yeah.
The animation is really off-putting. It's so crazy, and then it becomes really like interesting after a while. It's like the type of stuff that happens is it's just so well. It's so fluidly animated, weird, despite the fact that it's drawn so strange.
Yeah.
And then
there's experimental stuff going on.
It's like, I could see why something like that would be interesting if maybe it was a series, because you could expand on it some more, but it's like, it took some pretty heady ideas and all these twists and stuff, and it crammed it into 55 minutes, like crammed.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I turned that off. I got bored with it after about 15 minutes. Not so much bored, but it was just like, something gross was happening, and I was like, you know what? Like, I don't care about any of these characters.
Was it him banging her in jail?
I don't know if they were having sex, or if there's someone who was taking a shit, or both at the same time. There's something gross, and I was just like, this doesn't have anything interesting, and this is, like, supposed to be funny, or goofy, or throwaway.
Did you like Hot Tub Time Machine?
Didn't care. Huh?
Did you like
Hot Tub Time Machine? I haven't seen it yet, no.
No, I haven't watched anything else. I've been thinking, like, what else I watched?
I've watched a bunch of movies, but we'll have to talk about all that some other time, because it's 8 o'clock.
Nobody cares what you think, anyway.
I know.